Welcome to the Rosetta Health podcast series. ENAC recently announced the release of new criteria versions for its 20 accreditation programs to support compliance with the CMS interoperability rule. And today we're speaking with Lee Barrett, who's the executive director and CEO of ENAC, more about this effort. And Lee, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Matt. Good to be here as well.
Yeah, great. And before we really dive in and talk about the new criteria versions and stuff like that, if you don't mind, tell our listeners a little bit more about ENAC.
Absolutely. And again, thanks for having me. So ENAC, the Electronic Healthcare Network Accreditation Commission, for those who may not know the acronym, ENAC is a national healthcare accreditation organization. So we're a 501c6 not-for-profit. We were actually founded in 1995. We have over 20 plus accreditation programs. We are only healthcare. And those accreditation programs range everything from accountable care organizations to our healthcare network accreditation programs, which the majority of the clearinghouses, for example, are accredited by ENAC. We have programs as well for e-prescribing for controlled substances. So we are certified by the Drug Enforcement Agency as one of, I think, six certifiers for e-prescribing. We also have a program, financial services accreditation program. So a number of banks and financial services organizations go through. And we include in our accreditation program, Matt, privacy, security, operational and technical requirements, as well as business requirements as part of that accreditation. And it's an every 2 year accreditation cycle that we go through. We make all of our programs available for free. So anybody, any of your listeners out here that are listening to the program and say, hey, you know, that's interesting. I'd like to see what one of those programs looks like. They can download any of our programs for free, take a look at them, see what's incorporated. All of our programs incorporate HIPAA as well as NIST requirements as well for privacy, security, as well as cybersecurity. So we have a major focus on cybersecurity as well. So, and we go through it, we are federally recognized as a standards development organization. So as well, what that means is that we make all of our programs available for free, and the organizations can participate in our criteria committee, again, to participate, influence, bring their business requirements to that criteria committee. And we go through a 60-day public review process as we go to develop our program. So very transparent, very open, and we welcome anybody who's interested in taking a look at those programs to go to our website at enac.org.
All right. Well, great, Lee. I appreciate that rundown there. And let's jump over and talk about the latest news. It's really about the release of this updated criteria for your programs that really support the new interoperability regulations, and would love to hear more about that.
You're right. So we go through, and every year we go out with an annual release for all of our programs. And this year, with a lot of the interoperability rules that are going on, we have a major focus on interoperability as well. So a lot of the key updates that we've done to our 2022 criteria include the addition of new interoperability and information blocking criteria across key related accreditation programs, all of our programs, along with updates to one of our new interoperability programs is called the Trusted Dynamic Registration and Authentication Accreditation Program. Really long name. We call it TDRAP for short. And so it includes recommended best practices to implement provisions to the CMS interoperability and member access rule, and an effort to provide the industry with the ability to understand the most important measurement points and factors. We also included key performance indicators requirements, which has also been added as a component to most, if not all, of our programs as well. And so we can talk, you know, I think, Matt, you probably wanted to as well get into some, what does that really mean as far as CMS interoperability, et cetera. So let me spend a couple of minutes to talk about what that means. So some of the interoperability requirements that we now have are provisions of the most recent Office of the National Coordinator's Health IT model, their privacy notice, which demonstrates that this is publicly available to customers and is accessible at all times. We've also created an indication if the organization has adopted the Karen Code of Conduct, which is also another key component that Karen has been promoting. And we've now incorporated that into many of our programs as well. And then if organizations are using FHIR, the Fast Health Interoperability Resource, in their production systems, they need to provide evidence to us that the HL7 safety checklist has also been completed. So regarding our trusted dynamic registration and authentication program, our TDRAP program, that release, we included a lot of the requirements in 2021 for compliance with industry standards, including TEFCA, their technical framework and the common agreement requirements, the US core data for interoperability as well, and accepted the format and the content of interoperability data exchange, which of course we also included in our 2022 release. And also in our 2022 release, we added multiple requirements specific to three types of services provided by TDRAP candidates: client apps, the server apps, as well as identity providers. And these requirements also require conformity with HL7's interoperable digital identity and patient matching capabilities. So those are some of the key aspects. We are aligning as much as possible with, again, the CMS interoperability rule. Our Trusted Network Accreditation Program, PNAP, a little shorter, aligns with TEFCA and aligns with the Common Agreement. And we've combined that as well with HITRUST for privacy and security. So again, we've focused over the past several years on some of the interoperability aspects here so that organizations can look to trust, again, provide that level of stakeholder trust like Rosetta Health does as an ENAC accredited organization as well. We appreciate that, to really raise the bar for the industry and really demonstrate really their regimen, their rigor around privacy and security, and demonstrating that to all of your customers.
Yeah, that's great. In many ways, everything that you ran down here, which is all excellent, it certainly sounds like you all have been very busy, but it really points back to the importance of placing security, confidentiality, availability, integrity, and efficiency really at the forefront of electronic health data exchange. And love to hear more of your perspective on kind of the overall value under all those different prongs, if you will.
Well, you know, privacy and security is absolutely, we feel, fundamental and foundational for organizations. With everything that's going on, what we're seeing is exponentially an increase in the number of cyber attacks that are occurring in the healthcare industry, whether it's ransomware, whether or not it's malware, whether or not it's phishing. We're seeing a significant increase, and we're just seeing that all over healthcare. Add to that, you know, the breaches that are occurring as far as HIPAA and disclosure of information, or in fact, whether it's laptops being stolen, flash drives, all of this, when you start to look at the data and the need to demonstrate stakeholder trust, it's critical. And so we take that very seriously and continue to enhance all of our programs on an ongoing basis, whether it's best practices, whether or not it's NIST coming out with new requirements, whether it's from a cybersecurity perspective, or as well as OCR, the Office for Civil Rights, in relation to HIPAA. And there's some new changes that we think are going to be happening as well with HIPAA. So we constantly are monitoring all of that, and we're constantly incorporating any of those new practices into our programs. So it never ends. They're constantly being updated. We're constantly being able to demonstrate to the Rosetta Health and to other organizations the importance of privacy and security, and demonstrating that level of rigor to all of your clients, all of your customers. We feel that's absolutely critical. Now, is that going to stop any organization from being attacked? The answer is no. The big issue that we focus on, as well as not only helping organizations to be prepared and ready, And as far as their infrastructure, their policies, their procedures, their controls, the other key point is when you are attacked, not if, but when you are attacked, that an organization has the right contingency plan to execute, implement quickly, and to mitigate the amount of negative impact that could occur from a credibility perspective, loss of revenue or income, and stakeholder trust. That's what we're about. That's what we try to do. And that's why it's always going to be critical, not only for us, but for others from the standpoint of our trust framework that we have and what others are trying to do as well to kind of raise the bar for the industry.
Yeah, you know, excellent insights. There's certainly a big, huge challenge with security these days. And it seems just like the health data exchange industry, or there's just a lot of moving parts and there's a lot to it. It's not as simple as one would think. And, you know, with that in mind, from your perspective, what does the future really hold when it comes to health data exchange?
Matt, the amount of health data exchange is going to increase tremendously. With primarily, if you start to look at what's happening with this, with TEFCA, with the trust exchange framework, with common agreement, we're expecting that we'll see a final rule on TEFCA, which is part of the 21st Century Cures Act, probably in the first quarter this year. If you assume that's going to happen, the Sequoia Project, who is the recognized coordinating entity, has been working for the past couple of years now on development of the common agreement. We expect the common agreement, final common agreement, will also be coming out in about that same time frame as we'll see a TEFCA final rule. What does that mean? That means that what's going to happen is that the RCE will start to onboard qualified health information networks, QHINs, that are really going to be the key organizations that are going to be, I would say, not only aggregating data, but also disseminating and exchanging data with all the various participants that are going to happen, whether or not it's health plans, hospitals, labs, pharmacies, you name it, they're going to be the aggregators and the disseminator for all that data. This is all comes down to patients having a lot more access to their data. Electronic health record systems with the use of FHIR and FHIR application program interfaces, APIs, being able to exchange that data. It's going to make a lot more information available to patients. They're going to have a lot more access to the data. There's going to be a lot more data exchange. I use the example, Matt, that today, if Lee Barrett is traveling to California and I get rolled into an emergency room and I'm unconscious, that attending physician has very limited options as far as what they can do as far as treatment for me because they don't have my EHR. Let's take 2 years from now when this infrastructure is implemented. Same scenario. Lee gets rolled in. They find my wallet in my pants. They're able to look at my license. They can key in the license number plus a number of other identifiers into the EHR. It will immediately pull all of these QHINs, develop my EHR in seconds for that attending physician to be able to look at it, have my EHR, and start treatment immediately, as quickly as possible. So now we got mortality that starts to go down. Patients are getting a lot more of their data and information. Portals that all of us have access to with our doctors will have all that information. So I'm answering it in a very long way, but there's a lot of moving parts. There's going to be a lot more data exchange. There's going to be a lot more information exchange. All of that is fantastic, but it also creates far more risks around privacy, security, and for cyber attacks to occur. Those are called risk factors. We're adding a lot more risk factors. So the level of diligence that it's going to require for the industry to actually up their game in being prepared is exponential. And that's why ENAC is there. That's why we're doing what we're doing. And we like doing what we're doing with the industry to help the industry to really raise the bar on stakeholder trust.
That's excellent, Lee. I really appreciate that future vision there. It certainly is, like I said, lots of moving parts. But once we get to that certain point where it's almost like the ubiquitous sharing of data, that's a great place for the entire care sector to be overall. And, really appreciate your time today, Lee. And I know we covered off on a lot, but please let me know, is there anything else to add or anything we may have missed before we sign off?
Matt, I've given you at least 20 new acronyms. So I think I covered a lot, as you said, and I appreciate the opportunity. It was really great talking with you. And hopefully your audience, if they have questions, they can get those questions to you and you can send them to me. I'd be more than happy to answer any additional follow-up.
That's perfect. And this concludes this Rosetta Health Podcast interview with Lee Barrett, who's the Executive Director and CEO of ENAC, who, as you heard, discussed ENAC's recent release of the new criteria versions for its 20 accreditation programs to really support compliance with the CMS interoperability rule. And Lee, thank you so much for your time today.
Matt, thanks again.